outside cotton in the ditch. We all picked the cotton, but we never got rich. Daddy was a veteran, a Southern Democrat. They ought to get a rich man to vote like that. Singing song, song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth.
Welcome back to the Jeff Force Show at FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Tuesday morning. We do appreciate you listening. So to come on the program, from the Media Research Center, pitch hitting for our friend Dan Gaynor. Michael Morris will be with us at the 10 o'clock hour. State Representative Chip Brown will talk Annihilates a law, a constitutional amendment. Where are we with that? But also, what if a Waukesha situation had arisen in Alabama and that law were on the books? Might you had that suspect remain in jail in custody and not out and about? And then finally, 11 o'clock hour, my friend Scott Mutchum on the Trustwell Tribune will be with us. All that and more. Please make sure you stay tuned. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on the text line. Happy to take any comment, feedback, anything of that sort. But joining us now, very excited to have my next guest, regular on this station, and all-around good guy, Congressman Jerry Carl of the 1st Congressional District. Congressman, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff, and happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. Will this be the first one with the baby?
This is the first one with the baby, unless you count the pregnancy. But
that doesn't count. You'll enjoy it. You got family. You'll be able to pass the baby around to.
Yeah, so we're already on location for the family festivities. The family's coming, arriving early to come and see the baby, actually.
All right.
This is a big family, and this is the first grandchild of the family, so it's exciting times.
Wow. Okay. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah. So a little programming note.
That's a grand slam where I'm from.
You hear me fumbling around here. I'm actually in Nashville, Tennessee, doing the show today, and that's why you hear all the weird echoes and all the weird things going on. But we seem to have those worked out. But anyway, Congressman, let's get back to business here. How excited are you for Build Back Better? I guess we're still waiting to see what the Senate does with this. But I thought after Virginia that we would see something like this, that Pelosi and leadership would get very antsy and they would start moving on some of these bills they've been talking about since Biden was inaugurated.
And I think that was the common belief among all of us. You know, being the minority, we know we can't win all these fights. And our job is really then take the issues that are in these bills, make it public. You know, talk about them, make them talking points. I mean, all of us Republicans, I think have done an incredible job. You know, and we're provided with, you know, all these talking points from our staff and from the Republican Party as a whole. But, you know, we have to pick the ones that actually we feel like affect us and affect the people in our district. That's the ones we feel comfortable talking about. But you know, it passing was a very low moment when it did pass, but I think McCarthy getting up for that 8.5 hours, I think that just did incredible good thing for his popularity among the other Republicans, especially in leadership. But, you know, some things in this bill are just extremely, extremely dangerous to this country. And I hope we've made enough noise and the Senate has watched us, Democrats and Republicans, has watched us and listened to the things that our constituents are saying from our district. You know, knowing this $80 billion for the IRS, I mean, if that one alone should scare you to death. They're looking to get $1.7 trillion paid back so it doesn't cost you anything through, you know, watching your checking account. And I might be off a couple of dollars here, but you know, if you have more than $28 a day on average that moves in and out of your checking account on average, that gives them all the rights they need to look into your checking account and into your business account. And that's just way overreach for this government. I mean, that stuff you see in third world countries. I mean, that is not the America that I'm used to. They're going to hire 88,000 IRS agents to do this with. You think you're going to have a personal life? I mean, it's bad enough now being in tracked and watched through social media and Googles and all the tracking devices we've got. But to turn the federal government loose with laws that will protect them to come after you, that's not a good thing at all. Not a good thing.
Well, let me ask you something. Should you guys get the, get the White House in a few years, and we're assuming Congress goes your way this cycle? I mean, is it feasible? Because we hear this, and I know you've only been in Congress for less than a year, but is it feasible to roll some of this back? I mean, there was always talk about rolling back some of the Obama-era stuff, and particularly Obamacare. Never could quite get there. But is it?
But with Obamacare, they roll back a lot of pieces of it that people don't pay attention to. So did they roll some Obamacare back? They did. I'm not an expert. I can't get into details because I asked this question, and in some parts of it, yes, you can roll back. And they used Obamacare for an example when I was asking them at a leadership meeting. They can roll pieces of it back and kind of pull the teeth out of it. That'll be their focus. It's easier to pull the teeth out of that lion than it is to try to take the entire lion out. I hope we can. I think the Senate's going to kill most of this bill because it is so unpopular in everybody's district. I'm just shocked that the Democrats carried on with. I mean, they put stuff back in there that they had already taken out just to push it through. The Hyde Amendment's another good one. They had taken the Hyde out. And after Virginia, they put it back in, which didn't make sense. For those that don't know what the Hyde Amendment is, it's basically telling the federal government you cannot use federal funding for abortion purposes or abortion advertisements. So by them taking the Hyde Amendment out, I'm sorry, I had it backwards a while ago when I was explaining it to you. By them taking the Hyde Amendment out there at the last minute, now it's set up where they can use federal money. And that's something this country's never witnessed and never seen. It just spits in the face of every pro-life person in America. So, and again, I mean, there's just 150 new government programs are in this bill, 150. Now, this is what people need to understand. Once you get a government program going, it is almost impossible to get an elected official to vote to stop it.
Yeah,
you know that better than anybody.
Well, that was my question.
All these
to
giveaway
you.
Programs. Yeah,
that was my
all
question.
These giveaway
to you.
Program.
Well, let me just say that was my question to you. The Republicans have had a track record of running on we're going to repeal or we're going to push back against this, and I'm not talking about Obamacare necessarily. It's just a promise that and how realistic even is it to get. To get your caucus to start saying, hey, the stuff we're doing with the monitoring of bank accounts and we're going to start removing some of that. And you think about how feasible that is to, the way it could be demagogued by the left and say, oh, well, look at these Republicans wanting to benefit the rich. And it scares away some Republicans, I'm afraid. But I think a lot of people would like to see government roll back when they vote for Republicans. I'm just curious to hear your thoughts. Like, how do you get you put yourself in a position to where Republicans could start enacting some of that?
Well, the Republican leadership's already working on it. They've got the education committee working on some redefine some of the education field and see if we can. The Common Core is going to come out. You're going to see a lot of things the Republicans. We'll start stripping out early. I mean, we're even talking about a balanced budget. They brought Newt Gingrich in a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, and Newt explained to us it doesn't happen overnight. It was a 4 or 5 year process for him to pull that off. So we're beginning to look and see how we can do it, and we'll have committees that will be looking at these bills that are being passed now and figured out how we can reverse them. I've only been there less than a year. I can't tell you how that happens, what can be reversed, what cannot be reversed. But I promise you whatever can be reversed and needs to be reversed, maybe there's something in there that doesn't need to be reversed. I haven't seen anything that I like thus far. But we can just start picking it apart. It's like pulling teeth, just like I said a while ago. Start picking it apart.
Joined by Congressman.
We got...
Carl, the first congressional.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Just resetting here. Congressman, I want to move on to the infrastructure bill that passed already. And there's, we heard about the Northern Beltline money in there for Congressman Palmer's district. But, I know the I-10 bridge is not in this bill, but can you, as far as you could tell, is there anything in there for your congressional district?
We are ciphering through that now. We were in contact with the governor's office yesterday. The way it looks today is there is zero in there for the bridge. I told everyone not to get any hopes up on this bill. You're in a heavy Republican state. The majority, 40% of the money in this infrastructure bill goes towards infrastructure. And the majority of that money goes to California and New York. The rest of the state's going to get just crumbs. We will get some crumbs. How that will be used is yet to be determined. But I said it from the very beginning, and I will hold my line on this. Do not depend on this bill or this money to help us with the bridge. We've got to find a way to do it ourselves. And I think we're getting much closer, much closer.
Now,
and the way I say that, you got the city and county on both sides of the bay that are working together, trying to put a plan together, and that's a great sign. They'll figure something out.
Are you glad that some of these guys running for the United States Senate seat up in next year? They're talking more and more about that as an issue. Now, whereas typically, you probably been watching Alabama politics for a while. Sometimes Mobile, Baldwin County get forgotten. And it seems, though, to me, the I-10 bridge is on a lot of these guys running in that race's radar, which I think is probably a positive sign.
Well, the road systems in Alabama, I mean, the I-10 through Alabama is actually owned by the state. Now, the federal government gives them money to maintain it and keep it up, but the ownership was actually turned over to the state. And I'm not trying to dodge any bullets, and blame it all on the state. Truly not. I mean, everybody in the country uses the road, so let's figure out a way that everybody can pay for it. And federal funding makes the most sense to me. But, I'm one voice. I can't understand why we can't get more help. And we keep talking, but every elected official has a bridge or a road or something in their district they need help with. And most of them aren't $2 billion. So, we've got some strong leadership on both sides of the bay. We've got some strong leadership. You got Chip coming on next. We've got some strong leadership in Montgomery. I think we're very close to having something put together that we'll start seeing some movement on that bridge pretty soon. I feel that way. Chip may tell you something totally different, but we've got some good leadership in all these seats right now. So let's put our heads together and come up with something.
And there is some federal money that's on the table right now, a U.S. Department of Transportation grant. What's the latest on that?
$125 million, and I've been working to keep that in place because it will expire in 2023. So I've been constantly talking to the DOT, making sure what we've got to do to keep that in place so we can use it on this project, because sometime in 2023, theoretically, it has to be returned. But I think we've got that covered. I think we'll be able to put it to use and put it in a place where the federal system can't draw it back.
So there's a process in place. There's not going to be this just rush to 2023. Let's get something going or whatever.
No, we're not going to spend it just for the sake of spending it. That's not my personality. But if we can use it for some engineering, and we can use it in other places, and get the DOT to work with us and commit it to that, even if it's futuristic, if it's 2 years down the road. I mean, it takes us past 2023. I mean, we can work with that. And that's kind of the vision that we're trying to use on that $125 million. So now my job is to make sure that money stays in place, but we've got to follow the rules and regulations, but they also have to be clearly defined for us to be able to do that.
Now, something else we always talked about when this topic come up, it was getting the Gulf Coast delegation, whatever that may be, Steve Scalise and Palazzo and Matt Gaetz are done over in Florida, getting them to help on it because I-10 is a pretty important corridor stretching from, as we know, from Jacksonville, Florida, all the way to Los Angeles, California. But it's that one bottleneck, and then that this would behoove that delegation to really get involved because it's useful to their commerce to have that open up and moving. Have you gotten any feedback from those guys or any interest from those guys, including Steve Scalise?
I doubt there's a Republican congressman up there that I haven't talked to about it. I truly doubt there's. I don't care if it's North Dakota congressman. I have talked to him about the need for that bridge. So many of them travel. Not just the Gulf Coast you're talking about, but so many of them will travel down here to go to Orange Beach or Gulf Shores, and they get stuck in traffic on that bayway, and their first response is, oh, yeah, I know the bridge you're talking about. We got stuck on that bridge for an hour and a half with screaming kids, and they start telling me a story. So everyone's aware of it, Jeff, but rarely has there been this much money given to a project after the fact, meaning after it's built, by the federal government. I think that 125 was a huge amount in the picture. 125 million is that Shelby secured. We can't earmark money anymore. So, historically, you would get someone like a Richard Shelby with the strength he's got. He would earmark enough money to get it started, but the earmarks are gone. Go ahead.
Well, as I say, a couple of those bridges there on I-10, I mean, they were products of a hurricane recovery, right? The twin span over there in Louisiana, and then obviously going across the Pensacola Bay Bridge there. I mean, they were products of hurricane recovery. And look, we don't want to wish for a storm or something that had to have the federal government come in here and replace those. There are circumstances where the federal government has come in and played a big, huge role in getting those bridges taken care of.
Under emergency acts, correct.
Right.
If we took a direct hit from a hurricane and it took that bridge out, the federal government would spend under emergency act and build it. I don't know if it'd be 100%, but they would certainly help us rebuild it. I mean, that's what they're there for. But the federal government feels like they send money to us. And let me clarify real quick. They're sending us our own money back. They send the money to us to cover, the cost of building that bridge over a number of years. And in their mind, they just mean an entity. We'd use that money in other places. I mean, Alabama, folks, Alabama's a poor state. I mean, most people, we live in Alabama. We're very proud of our state. But we've got some wonderful things happening in this state, but we are a poor state. And we have to take and use large chunks of our road, our highway money in the Black Belt, for example. The Black Belt does very little to give back job-wise or tax-wise, to the coffers so we can use it. That doesn't mean we shouldn't spend it there. I mean, we've got an obligation to take care of everybody. So, We can't just step out and borrow these large sums of money. I know everybody wants it instant, but I heard you talking earlier about the prison system. Everybody wants a prisoner locked up and kept locked up, but nobody wants to pay for the prison. It's a very frustrating place to be in government. If you want to keep them locked up, you got to keep them locked up. You got to have a place to put them. You can't just
right.
house them because we've got federal government.
Hey, Congressman, we've gone on a little long here, but you were very kind to come on right before Thanksgiving, and we need to talk again soon, hopefully.
My pleasure. Everyone have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Great talking to you, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for making time. Congressman Jerry Carl, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.